sure glad to be saved still.
Yeah.
So thank the Lord that He's kept us and watched over us and blessed us. I want you to consider tonight or this morning some of the good things of the Lord. Little thought I have this morning is for you and me to consider what all God has really done for us and the things He's made available for you and me. And then for us, by His grace, to be encouraged to put those things to work in our life and to let the tools, if you will, the graces of the Lord that He's been so gracious to give us and furnish us, to put them to work in our lives that we might overcome.
Amen.
He said in one place that we cannot sin because if His seed remains in us. So we want that seed to be producing life. We want the Word of God and we want the blood of Christ and the blessings of the Lord to be producing life in us. You thought many times if I was to hold up a bean in front of you, say, and I tell you, if I go out and plant this bean, it's a pinto, say, something we all know. And if I go out and plant that seed, what would you expect to come up? Would you expect tomatoes or would you expect cabbage? You'd expect a bean just like that one to come up. If Christ is in us, if Christ does really truly live and dwell in us, if there is a truth that Christ does indwell in us by His Spirit, then that seed, that planting of the Lord in us, should produce that fruit and that manifestation of what's been planted in our heart. Holiness is a reality today, and thank the Lord for it. I'd like to read a scripture, and what I want you to do, I'm going to write some things on the board, but I'm going to write what you tell me to write. So I'm going to ask you to participate with me today. I'm going to ask a question, kind of a broad-based question, and I want it to maybe stimulate your thinking and your mind, and maybe we can all cooperate together here and broaden our horizons on what is available to you and me. Sometimes we might get surprised. Sometimes we may be amazed. And sometimes we just might be just in a place where we didn't realize, you mean this is available to me? And then to realize that it really works, that the Lord who could not lie has promised you and me many wonderful and good things. And that sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask. Sometimes we don't ask. I mean, we don't receive because we ask amiss. But Lord, help us to realize that God has revealed Himself to us in all His glory and His majesty, and that we put in for what God has available for you and me. Listen to what He said in 2 Corinthians, the ninth verse, second chapter in the ninth verse. And I'm going to ask you a few questions, or one question really. But listen to what He said. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was prepared from the foundation of the world. We might think as the Garden of Eden was first, but it seems like Jesus Christ was prepared. Jesus Christ did I say 2 Corinthians?
Yes.
It's 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Jesus Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord had a plan, if you will, already in place. I'm not going to get into the depths of this because I would fall short of trying to explain it. But God had a plan whereby He could restore man or redeem man that He had created. I suppose in His infinite wisdom, He recognized man could fall and maybe man would fall. But Jesus Christ was one of these things prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And it didn't stop there. In all of the glory of the Father and all of the glory of the Son has come down to be revealed to you and me that we might walk in holiness and overcome the devil, that we might have life and that we might have an abundant life, that the riches of the kingdom might come up to us and flow into us, that we might, listen to this, be kings and priests in the kingdom of God, that we may reign over sin and that we might be a servant to God and to our fellow man, that we might be priests to attend to every need of God and every need of our fellow man, that we might be men and women who have offered ourselves on the sacrifice of the altar of the Lord, and He has blessed and give us duties and callings and administrations whereby the kingdom of God in its fullness can go forth into the world, into our congregation, into our homes. Thank the Lord that He has prepared wonderful things for us. Sometimes If you ever had a pantry full of food or stained clothes, sometimes we accumulate those things. Have you ever sometimes gone through your pantry or your closet and found some food you forgot about? I don't know how many people here raise gardens. This is not speaking of I'm not talking against elderly people, but a lot of times elderly people raise gardens. And they raise gardens past the years their children are off. And consequently, they're still used to preparing big gardens and canning or freezing and packing their freezer as if they've got a lot of children at home. And after a while, you go to their house. I know my in-laws was this way, and my parents was this way. You go home, they say, well, come get something out of the freezer. And sure enough, they've got a freezer full. And you'll get to looking, and there'll be food in there that they canned the summer before. Froze and put up the summer before that. Oh, I forgot about having this. Or you'd say, Mama, what's this? Well, you know, I don't know. It's been there so long. There's nothing wrong with this. People like to raise gardens. They save what they make. They put it into the freezer. There's nothing wrong with that. But after a while, you get to accumulate it, and after the children are gone, especially, more than you could eat. Yeah. And you wind up with a freezer full. Well, and you get surprised sometimes. You open up that freezer, and there's some purple hull peas, or there's some strawberries, or there's something that's been in there a couple of years and forgot all about them. Lord, help us to examine God's Word. And that's what I want us to do today. Examine in our mind and what God has shown you. Our things that are available, share with one another. This is what the Lord has prepared for them that loved us. And it's not revealed, the Bible tells us here, by flesh and blood. It's not revealed through the avenue of the intellect. But God in His goodness and His Spirit, He said, the things that have been prepared for us didn't come through our mind or through our understanding or through our intellect. It just kind of skips over people. It's just not available to mankind without the blood of Christ being applied. And He said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, listen to this, the deep things of the Lord. You get to digging around in that deep freeze, and they always, you always put the new stuff on top. You always put the new stuff on top. Well, down under the bottom is some older stuff that's still good, it's still nutritious, but you put the new stuff on top. Sometimes in the chest of our mind, or the freezer of our spirit, however you want to think about it, in the storehouse, sometimes we put things away and we forget to use it. We forget about it being there. Lord, remind us. May God remind us of all the good things that are available. Sometimes we live deprived because we forget who we are. We lose our identity. We are children of the King. We are blood-bought heirs of a royal host. May God help us to, and I don't mean go out in our own charge like Brother Bob talked to us about and cautioned us about. By no means don't we do that. We don't go out, I'm a child of the King, can't anything hurt me. That's a good way to get in trouble. But we go out humbly, respectful of what God has prepared for us. And go out with the confidence, like He told us. This is what the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. And they're mine. They're yours. And that, we're just shortchanging ourselves sometimes. God help us to realize this is ours. It's our birthright. He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. I can't overemphasize, and I don't think the Bible overemphasized, the need of having a relationship where the Holy Spirit is part of your life, and He has taken up the abode of Christ in your life. That's how we understand things. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are greater and higher than our thoughts. And for me to try to attain to that would be like, it'd be like me trying to spread my wings and fly. It's just impossible. I can't do it. It would be like me trying to swim the ocean. I just can't do it. It's just too great for you and for me. And we shortchange ourselves. We fail to tie into or connect into all the resources of the Lord when we don't receive God's Spirit, when we don't humble ourselves and let Him purge us and cleanse us. So God in His goodness reveals things to us. May the Lord help us to take advantage of that. He said, now we in the 12th verse, that's the 11th verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. You know me somewhat. You can tell what color clothes I've got on, and you can probably guess my age pretty close. And you can see that I'm a male, and et cetera. And you know a little bit about where I'm from. And you know, maybe some of you know a little bit about my background, and et cetera. And you may know I have a couple of sons. And you know quite a bit of, maybe a lot of general things about me, and I may know some general things about you. But till I reveal unto you what's in my mind, till I reveal unto you my thoughts, you can't get into that place. You can't go there. I can put on any kind of portrait I want to and say this is who I am, and by and large you have to accept that because that's all you can really see of me or me of you. But to get into my mind, that's impossible.
That's true.
Really and truly, I mean, I can say, well, I know what he's thinking. Well, really, I don't. And you can say, well, I know what Brother Dixon's thinking. Well, no, really, you don't. You think you know, or you're guessing, or I'll be guessing. And it's the same way with the Lord. I cannot tap into the Lord. I cannot just say, well, that's God, and I know all about him. That's an impossibility. I must receive him within me. I must receive his spirit, his mind, his love, his blood, his power. I must receive the very presence. And the word I always like to think of is the power of the indwelling Christ within me. And then he starts revealing himself. He said, can two walk together, I believe, something like that, unless they agree? I need God to come and dwell in me, and me and him, for us to walk in agreement. He may have some things available to me, and, you know, they'd be down at the bottom of the chest, and I just don't know they're there. But if he can come, and thank God, he comes and lives in us and reveals us. So how do we know the mind of the Lord? It's available today. We don't have to be in darkness. We don't have to walk groping around. We don't have to live beneath our birthright. We can receive what God has given us. We can receive and know what the Lord has for us. We can know what holiness really means. We can know not just the word holiness, we can know the essence of it, the depths of it, the power of it, the strategy of it. We can know the infilling power of holiness. It cannot just be it has to be more than just a doctrine of Church of God holiness. We're holiness people. What does it mean to be holy? How do we stay holy? How do we fight a holy fight? How do we present ourselves spotless before the Lord? How do we live in such a way that holiness is a reality to us? What does holiness mean? We can't perceive that in our own self. We must have God in the essence of His Spirit within us. And He can lead us and teach us what a real holy life means. What true humility is. Not a facade, but a real, true, heart, humble humility. He can teach us these things by His Spirit. By His Spirit. Well, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might know the things, all praise God, that are freely given to us of God. Okay, now it's your turn. The things that are freely given to us. Things that you and I didn't earn. Things that we didn't conceive it. We didn't manufacture it. We didn't go to school and learn it. We didn't develop and turn over a new leaf. It wasn't part of the genetic makeup of any man. It was things that had to be freely given, things that had to be offered to us by a holy God, because my genetics coming from Adam and Eve just couldn't produce those things. And my intellect in its such small ways couldn't perceive it. But he said, now we can know the things that are freely given to us. Freely given to us that we didn't possess, that we didn't have. I don't have a garden, never raised a garden over a few tomato plants. So when I went down to my in-laws especially, they always had a big garden, a freezer full. Well, if I wanted fresh vegetables, they just freely gave them to me. It wasn't that I earned them. It wasn't that I went out and toiled. It was things that they just loved me and gave to me.
Yes.
Well, in many ways, it's that way. I know we have a responsibility to the gifts. I don't want to negate that. But as far as earning them, no way.
That's true.
No way. We didn't till the soil. I mean, I know we study to show ourselves approved. And I know we strive. And I know we contend for the faith. I know all this. But as far as really doing anything to deserve it, that we were being rewarded for anything we've done, no way. It was freely provided for us by a God who loved us.
Amen.
Now, that brings responsibilities with those gifts.
Yes.
But as far as deserving it and saying, Lord, I worked 29 and a half years and now I want so-and-so. No way. It just been freely given to us. In fact, while we were yet sinners, it was offered to us. It was provided in the plan of salvation while we were yet sinners.
Yes.
So what I'd like for you to do, and let your mind go, feel free. If you got another comment afterwards, go ahead and comment on it. But what are some of the things you perceive God has given us? Some of the free gifts.
Hope.
Okay. I hope to go somewhere with it. I didn't mean to say that, but I did. I intend to go somewhere with these thoughts and don't want to take up all morning to do it, but okay. Hope. Very precious thing, is it not? Brandon?
Spirit of God.
Okay. The Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Someone else.
Deliverance.
Deliverance from?
From sins.
Let's see, where am I? Now, folks, you're looking at a man who has a tremendous trouble spelling. So if I misspell something, feel free to correct me or just laugh at me and we'll go on. Okay. Deliver. R-E-N-C-E. That's what. Okay. Deliverance not only from the past, but Brother Bowman, I'd like to think too that God delivers us from things that come in our way. It's a deliverance from day one that we were saved all the way to keep us, okay?
Salvation.
How about you put that up here? Go ahead.
Grace.
Somebody said, wrote a song about a grace. Amazing grace. When you think about grace and what it's done for you and me, it's truly amazing.
We've got life, breath, and love over here. Life, breath, and love.
Life, okay. He has given us life. Not
yes.
What kind of life? Two lives, I suppose, isn't it?
Eternal life.
We'll just put eternal. But obviously it's more who it's that's the essence, but there's just life.
Yes.
Folks, I enjoy it. It's good. Mm-hmm. I enjoy life. Thank God for it. Breath. Can't have life without that, can you? And what was the last one?
Love.
Oh, yes. Where would we be without love?
Faith.
All right, we'll just start over here.
Healing.
Physical and spiritual, right? Okay.
Brotherhood.
All right. The family, brotherhood. Okay.
His mind.
Okay. That's an important one when you think about it. Kind of what I'm talking about a little bit. Okay.
Victory.
Alright. That's what the world's looking for, isn't it?
Alright. His divine nature.
Alright. That's Peter talks about that, doesn't he?
Yes.
Alright. What's some more things?
Oneness.
All right, unity. Okay,
courage. That's what the Holy Ghost gives you.
Holy Ghost, yes, gives us courage.
Liberty.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Either I'm doing pretty good or y'all are being nice.
Encouragement.
As far as spelling, I mean. Encouragement, okay, we got courage to encourage us. All right, we'll just put it out here like this. Courage and encouragement, okay. What else?
What about a mind to think? Natural mind to think.
Okay, well, how would we write that? Well, let's just put it that way and we'll kind of remember. He's given us a sound mind. A sound mind.
Humility.
All right, it's a sound mind. Humility. And that is a grace, isn't it, Sister Marsha? It's not something that we cultivate. Now, some people are more humble than other people, but when it comes down to the brass tacks of the matter, there's a point where we'll always draw the line and we'll stand up for self.
Yes.
True humility is, I believe, a divine grace. It is not something that man can manufacture in time. It goes beyond the ability of most of us to have humility in all situations. Okay.
Power was mentioned.
Power.
Yeah.
Power was sound mind. All just on and on. Okay.
Virtue.
All right, virtue. That's a good word. What do you think about when you think of virtue?
Pure.
Okay, you're thinking in terms of purity.
Goodness.
All right. That's true enough. Virtue, Brother Tony taught us one time that one of the definitions, Jesus said virtue went out, was power, strength.
Power.
Strength and power. That's another term for virtue.
Compassion.
If you sum it all up when you get through, I'm saying
mercy.
All things that pertain unto life and godliness.
That's in 1st or 2nd Peter, isn't it?
2nd Peter.
All right, we'll just use that in a minute. I think that's good. Okay, go ahead. Let your mind go. Things that God has given His people. Something we hadn't mentioned yet, but it talks about the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, isn't it? His blood. We've got the Holy Spirit. How about something we read a lot? His Word. Okay.
Heaven.
Oh, yes. I want to go there. In other words, in a sense, He's given us a goal, hasn't He? That I may attain to that. How about resurrection? I promise you're going to have to help me with this word. R-E-S-S?
S.
One S?
One S. Two R's.
E?
Two R's.
Told you. I knew I'd get stumped eventually.
E-C-T-I-O-N?
E-C-T-I-O-N. I knew I'd get stumped somewhere along the way.
Promises.
Okay. Promises? Did we? Precious promises, right.
Prayer.
Good one, Brother Randy. What if you couldn't talk to the Lord? Wouldn't that be rough?
Faith.
Oh, we've got that one somewhere.
I don't know how you'd write this down, but what about the church, the body of Christ.
Okay, we've got the brotherhood, we've got unity, but the church.
The church.
On this rock, I will build my church. Congregation, if you will.
What about a determination?
Determination. All right, He's given us a hope, a determination. I's and E's always get me mixed up. Children, as you go to school, learn to spell. And children, as you go to school, learn your verbs. Seesaw, seen, go, went, gone. Because I never thought I was going to be a preacher and stand up for a bunch of people. And my mother used to try to teach me the go, went, gone, seesaw, scenes, and how to conjugate verbs. But I really wasn't too studious. And look here, I started talking to people and standing up in front of people, having to spell on the blackboard and try to get the right verb with the right tense. So Remember that. You learn those things.
Boldness.
Holy boldness. Discernment. Okay. Good thing about an eraser, isn't it? My wife used to kind of, she would be very embarrassed right now. Well, praise the Lord. As we go along now, if you think of anything else, and there's others I know. But, you know, that's a pretty good little list right there. And we could, like you say, we could keep going. If you think of something that burns on your heart, just speak it up. This is rather informal. Meekness. Okay. We had humility. Okay, we got humility up there. Maybe that's...
Desire.
And in the end, eternal life. Sum it all up, what?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Right. We just put fruit here. And then up here, maybe we'll just put all things. That'll take care of everything we've left out. That pertain to life, the folks, and godliness. Not only things that we need to make heaven, but the things that we need for this life. So God, thank the Lord now. Okay. When you look at that little list, and I believe we could probably spend another 30 minutes or so, another blackboard or two, thinking about what God has given to us and that God has revealed to us. Now, I'm a little burdened, and it's just a very simple one. It's not hard to figure out at all. I want to turn over to Romans a little bit, the 8th chapter, and consider what God has told us in His Word and told us in His Spirit. And I want to challenge you and me. This is what's in parts available to us. And we just wrote it up there, all things that pertain to life and to godliness. May I say to us, we won't meet situations in life that God has not provided insight and guidance for. It doesn't matter whether it's a temporal need. God will teach us and lead us and show us how to govern ourselves through that temporal need. He will teach us how to be frugal when the time comes, or how to tighten up our belt and tighten up our belt with a smile on our face. But He will also provide for us the necessities of this life that we won't have to be beggars or be for feel forsaken of the Lord. It really doesn't matter. In fact, it does not matter what the situation that life may present to us. I am confident in a God who is the provider. Yeah. And spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, temporally, He will provide for His own. Now, faith is one of the things we wrote. May God bless us today with a measure of faith to recognize I can go to my Father. Now, I don't go to my Father as if I'm a king or if I'm something special and He's just there as a supply chairman to give to me. I go to Him with the recognition of His sovereignty, of His authority, and of His ability, and of His love, and that I can go to Him in humility and in need and express to Him the desires and the needs of my heart, and in His wisdom, He will perfect that, or He will work that out that concerns me. That I don't go to Him and say, Lord, I need $1 million. We may go to the Lord and say, you see my needs, Lord. Yes. Now, I want to maintain holiness and righteousness, and I want your grace to work in my life. Will you please afford me that which you see I need? Yes. It's not saying, well, Lord, I need this today and give it to me. It's not like that at all. It is a relationship where we trust that in His divine providence, He will work out and perfect those things concerning us. He will cause it to come about in a way that He and He alone obtains glory. I have a real difficulty with people and not among the saints, but I have a real difficulty with movements that teach you just name it and you got it. That's just almost like, well, God's up here, a puppet that I pull and out comes whatever I need. That I put a penny in the machine and the peanuts come out. I don't see God as this way. I see us coming to Him, reverencing Him, in awe of Him, recognizing, Lord, I need Your mercy and I need Your grace. And it's not for me to demand of You, but it's to me to ask and believe, and that You will supply my needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, according to Your wisdom, according to what You, Lord, have for me. I don't think we should ever demand of God. I think we can pray in the Word, and we can bring the Word to God, and we can let Him know we're standing on the Word, and we believe the Word, but never could we demand of God. Listen to some of the things He said now. Verse that I hear quoted a lot. I'd like to look at it just a little different. I want you to think now of all these, and if we can today, let our minds explode. And let it, some way or another, perceive the height and the depth, the breadth and the width of what God is and who God is. And that all of that is really and truly focused towards us. I know my thoughts, He said of you. Thoughts of peace. Thoughts that are of love and of mercy. Just let our minds explode in the sense of what, or expand, in the sense of who God is and what He has provided for them that love Him. The things that all things, and whatever your situation is tonight, it's in there today, it's included in the all things. Whatever it is. If it's spiritual, if you need some spiritual help, it's included in the all things. God has the ultimate answer for us. I want us to be encouraged. I trust we will be when we recognize what God has provided for them that love Him. Look what He said now. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I don't take exception to people who say, or to the translation or interpretation of this, who say the events that come in our life, they will work together for our good. I don't oppose that view, but I'd like to expand that a little bit. And we'll think about it this way. Everything, all the things that God is, all the things that God is in His person and in His power and His majesty, and all the things that He has revealed to us and will reveal to us by His Spirit, they will work in unison, or they will work together. These are attributes that we think that belong to God and of His mercy to us. These are things that we want to attain to in the light of God and not in self. We want hope not only in ourselves, but we want hope in God. We want the hope that God instills within us. The hope of eternal life. The hope of deliverance is here somewhere. The hope that we can have true Holy Ghost, blood-bought deliverance from sin. Not just a hope of man, and whatever it is, victory. We want victory over our enemies, not in a carnal way, but we want victory over where we can be a peacemaker, where we can bring our enemies to Christ. We want to be able to give them a cup of cold water. We want to feed our enemies. We want a victory that will give us the grace to see our enemy and tell him we love him and that we're praying for them. This is a victory that doesn't come from man. This is an attribute of God. Right on the power. Listen, there's bodybuilders, and they can lift up heavy weights, and there's some of us that do good to just lift up a little bit. We're not talking about the power of the flesh, the power of the intellect of a mind. That's finite. That has a limit to it. But the power of God is unlimited. He has seen from the ages past to the ages ahead. And He'll bring all that in together to work for my good. All these attributes. Look beyond the boldness. Nobody likes a bold person. Well, when I say that, none of us really appreciate a bold person. Someone that's just bold and just get right up in your face, and we don't appreciate that. But Holy Spirit boldness, that's something else, isn't it? The grace to speak the truth in love, we appreciate that. Someone that can demonstrate love and yet not cow down to sin. someone that had, we have that grace to, I like to think of this word boldness, and we didn't put this up here, our confidence that I can come to the Lord knowing I'm His child. Mm-hmm. So that's a boldness that we appreciate and we want. That comes from the Spirit of the Lord. That's not man boldness. What else could we say? The church? Oh, listen, you know, church means congregation. Another word for it is assembly. Well, there's a lot of assemblies. There's a lot of churches. There are a lot of groups out there, but there's only one church and only one body, and it's a divine institution. So think about it just a minute. All the things now that God has for us, the Bible said they work together for our good. Isn't that a blessing? And that's what I want you and me to be encouraged in this morning. Amen. That all that God is, He's working for our good. Amen. He's not our enemy. He's not lording things over us. He don't consider us little goats or donkeys and puts a carrot out there in front of us on a string. He doesn't just lead us around with a hook in our nose. But He offers to share with us. Mm-hmm. And He lets us participate with Him. And He lets us tap into, if you will, or go to His storehouse and receive for our needs. All the things that God has prepared. All the things that God is. All the things that God has prepared for them that love Him is available. He said, all these things here, correction. I want to put that up there. Because that's something, folks, we need sometimes. That's a product of God that we sure want. Right along with correction, we might think of chastisement. Yes. We need the switch. Yes. We need the spiritual switch. We don't need to be unchastened children. We need the chastening of the Lord in our lives. Amen. But can we see here a little bit this morning that all these things are working for our good? Yes. Correction, it's working for our good. Yes. That little switching we get, it works for our good. That little humiliation that we have to go through, it's working for our good. That situation that comes up and we need some understanding, wisdom, is that discernment from God. That we not be overtaken by false doctrine. Or that when someone would come among our midst or come into my house or come into my life professing things that would seem on the surface be good, but we need that discernment from the Lord to put up that little yellow or red flag to let me know, be careful. Try that spirit. Watch out for that thing. That's something that's working for our good. Discernment. To be able to discern between the things of the Lord and things it's not. Determination, desire, eternal life, the fruit of the Spirit, prayer. They work together for our good. Oh, what a... The songwriter said, what peace we often forfeit. All because we do not take our things to the Lord in prayer.
Needless things we bear.
Needless. Praise the Lord, Sister Sheehy. Needless things.
Yeah.
You know what can be said of most of these things? We bear things needlessly at times.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Because we will not avail ourselves, mm-hmm. or we think ourselves that God can't do it. Mm-hmm. Part of my and your rest comes through the, I believe it's in the 37th chapter of Psalm somewhere. It talks about the different things, trust and all, and it says commit down there somewhere in about the middle of that chapter. Then the next verse, I believe it says rest. Our rest comes through a commitment to these things, to God, of course, to Christ, and to His plan of salvation, but a commitment to His sovereignty. A commitment to His sovereignty. I commit my life to You knowing full well that all things that You have are working together for my good. There's nothing God has implemented in the plan of salvation that I know of that is working against me. It's all working for my good. It's working for my health. It's working. If I am discouraged, it didn't come from the Lord. He's working to encourage us. If I have problems in my life that are overcoming me, they're not from the Lord. He's not tempting you or me with evil. He's not tempting us to sin. He's not saying, I'm going to see if they'll sin. I'm going to put something in their life to tempt them. God doesn't tempt men to sin. It is a foreign thing to God. But everything that God is, everything, it's working together this morning for our good. Isn't that a wonderful thought when you think about it? Whoever God is to you, it's for good. You know, I'm hoping we all have a true picture of the Lord this morning, God. But He said, and we know, have a knowledge of this. I would encourage us this morning not to doubt God. not to doubt his plan for us.
Yes.
That's a real trial sometimes in our lives. Mm-hmm. God's calling us to something. It may be the ministry, or it may just be something in your home. Maybe something in school. God's calling you to something. Mm-hmm. Or God is working events out that it's leading in a certain direction.
Yes.
And it takes faith. It takes real courage to know what he's leading me right.
Yeah.
Abraham left the land of Ur and his inheritance, I suppose, or a big portion of his inheritance. He left the familiar surroundings. He left father and mother. I'm sure he had brothers and sisters because what's his name was his nephew. So he had family there. Lot was his nephew. So he wasn't just a stranger in Ur. That was home. And the Lord said, I want you to go. God said, just go. And I want to take you to the land over there in a certain location, certain place, and it's going to be all this. I didn't say it that way. Mm-hmm. To a land I will show you.
Yeah.
And Abraham left and went. And it worked for Abraham's good, and it works for our good.
Yes.
Today, because Abraham left, it worked for my good.
Amen.
It worked for Abraham's good. Amen. Folks, sometimes God will lead you, and you won't thoroughly understand.
Mm-hmm.
Have faith in God.
Amen.
Trust in Him. He's not going to harm you. He's not going to get you out on the limb and saw it off at the tree. He's not going to take you out somewhere to embarrass you and leave you desolate. If we go at the charge of the Lord, and I don't mean way off, I mean just in our everyday life, if we go forth in the name of the Lord, believing in His sovereignty, believing in all things work together for my good, everything that God is, whatever you can possibly conceive God to be, it's working together for my good. Well, for your good. And Paul said, and we know that all these things are working for us. Think about it now. These grounds have some needs on it. All grounds do, by the way. But these grounds have some needs on it. And I don't know what really needs to be done, but say some trees need to be cut down, a dead tree. I really haven't seen a dead tree, but say if there's some dead trees around here. We call somebody in and say, these trees need to be cut down, and transported out of here. And, you know, we settle on a price. Then we can say that person that we hired, he's working for us. He's working for our good. May we understand this morning that God is actually working for us. I never thought about this too much, but I don't see God on a chaise lounge. I don't see Him that way. I don't see Him in a hammock. I really don't see God in a hammock. I don't know. He's greater than that, of course. But I see Him attentive. You know, sometimes we get out in the backyard if we got a fence and all the children and grandchildren, and we can take a little snooze while they play. I don't see the Lord doing that. I see Him acutely aware that there's dangers all around. And even in the confines of God's church, He's acutely aware of what's going on. He's watching us. He's not in a recliner reading the Sunday paper. He's watching. And these things that He has are working. They're there. They're dynamic and they're alive and they have power and strength in them. And they're working for what's your need this morning? Do you have a need this morning? God has something that's working for you. The whole plan of salvation is alive and available to us. For whom He did foreknow, He predestinated us to receive the adoption of children. But He also predestinated His children. And I don't mean predestination in God is selective on who's saved and who's not. But predestination to obtain salvation if we so would. And He predestinated us to be invited to be saved. And He predestinated us to obtain the adoption of sons. And then He said to us, whom He did foreknow, He predestinated us, I see it also, to obtain His power working in our life. That predestinated us, that all these things, all things would be working together for our good. Everything that God is. I want us this morning to be encouraged in God and who He is and in His power and not live below our birthright, but go forth. I am persuaded, Paul said, that He's able to keep that I have committed to Him. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. God help us this morning. If you're not persuaded, start seeking persuasion. Start seeking the Lord. Lord, I need more faith. I need more confidence. I need to understand. I need these fears conquered. I need these doubts conquered. Tell the Lord. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, I've got doubts. Tell God what those doubts are. Say, Lord, I doubt healing. or I doubt grace for this, or I doubt that you can really work out my marriage. Tell the Lord that, and let Him hear you say it, and let yourself hear you say it, and those things will start becoming in perspective then, and God can start working on them. Many times, we don't ask God specific enough. We need grace. Well, Lord, give me grace. Okay, we all need grace. What do we need grace for? Admit what you need grace for. I've got hurt feelings and I can't get over it. God got something up here that'll work for your good.
Amen.
If you got hurt feelings, don't say, Lord, I just need grace. Lord, I am hurt and I have a bad attitude towards someone. I need grace to overcome it. Please have mercy on me. I want to make heaven. I want to forgive. I want to put it under the blood. God's got something that'll work for your good.
Amen.
Don't deny what your trouble is. Don't deny what your trouble is. Don't deny what the problem is. Don't be general about it. But say, Lord, I'm troubled with greed. Money is more important to me than anything, and I just can't seem to share. I want more of it. Be specific about it. I have trouble with something, Lord, and be specific what that trouble is. I have jealousy, and I have friends, Lord, and they get something, and I get so jealous over it. Just go tell the Lord. You've got a friend, and they've attained a little measure in something, and you're envious of that. Don't just say, Lord, give me grace. Go to the Lord in your prayer closet and say, Lord, I am envious.
Amen.
He's got something to take care of. I'm afraid, Lord. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of death, Lord. I'm afraid of sickness. I tell you something, that it's real. And I'm not making light of them. So I promise you, I'm not making light of them. Sometimes with parents and children. Saints, we that maybe has got our children grown, but I feel this way about my grandchildren too. So I know, we need to pray for our parents with children. Because when that fever goes up, fear can go right up with it. It's a real thing. Lord, I'm afraid my child's sick and he or she may die. Don't circumvent that. Go to the Lord and tell Him in your secret chamber. Tell Him, Lord, I want to trust You, but I'm afraid.
Amen.
He's got something that'll work for our good. Amen.
Sure.
He's got something for us. Oh, may we tap into it. I don't know if that's a real good word or not. May we make ourselves available to it. May we believe that it's there. And may we receive it from the Lord. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, He asked this question, you answer it. Who can be against us? Now, that's a question we want to answer this way. First of all, there are things that can be against us. I believe it'd be a better translation or a little more understanding, but what can overcome us? Yes, this is against us. This is against us. These grounds need some repair. And the congregation is not the biggest congregation in the world. So the just looking around, we got some things against us. But who's going to overcome us? And looking around, Goliath could have whipped 10 of David. Right? A young man, not seasoned in war, facing an 8 or 9 foot giant, a man of war. Valor, strength, intimidated. But David went out, as we heard yesterday, in the name of the Lord, with those 5 pebbles, with whatever doubts he might have had or circumstances around him, but he went out and he killed the giant. He said, who can be against us? Who can overcome us? I like to think of it more that way, because we all have things against us. Our mind, the carnality of the flesh, it's against us. But oh, thank God, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, He said, who can overcome us? Who can be against us? Who can defy us to the point of making us fall into subjection to them? Or what we might say. Listen to what He said. This is one of, to me, the most beautiful verses in the Bible. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Folks, that ought to... I don't know what that ought to do. That ought to cause us to sing high praises. That ought to cause our faith and our courage to soar. That ought to cause us to be able to recognize, look what God has done. He that spared not His own Son for mine and your salvation, how shall He not with Him also freely give us His mind, victory, peace, joy, divine healing, unity, courage, heaven, His word, blood, wisdom, mercy, virtue, power, humility, resurrection, promises, prayer. Why? Sure He will. It'll all work together for our good. It's there. I'm not preaching a utopia. I'm preaching, I believe, a reality of what Christ has for us. And we don't go with boldness and just say, I demand it. But we can come with Holy Ghost boldness and humility of heart and in subjection to God, His Word, and His Spirit with holiness across our breast. And we can say, Lord, these are the things I believe. And I can put myself in Your charge. And that when those times come, You will care for me. You will provide for me. You will lift me up above the dangers of this world. You will protect my children. You will protect my body. And whatever I have to go through, there will be an amazing abundance of grace that I'll be able to stand and bear the trial, the temptation, the persecution, the things that I don't understand. You will give me enlightenment and wisdom that I can trust Your judgment through it all. I believe that. I believe that. I believe God has got something for every need in our life. And I don't boast and I don't brag because I have fallen on my face numerous times and said, Lord, have mercy on me. Literally, folks, fallen on my face with my hands outstretched and said, Lord, have mercy on me. I am a worm. But I believe Your promises. In some way, somehow, He enabled me and He'll enable us all to lift up holy hands. In some way, somehow, He always strengthens the feeble knees. He causes us to stand up by His amazing grace and His amazing power. Oh, how shall He not also look? He's already given the best. He's already done the supreme sacrifice. I don't know the magnitude of it. I had a little thought one time, and the title of a little message, and I don't know that I ever got it out to where I felt it, was the magnitude of the cross. And I think Christ and God had demonstrated somewhat in physical terms of what happened when Christ died. And I'm convinced I don't understand it all. But think of what happened when Christ died. You know, people die all the time. Two other fellows died with Him that day. People were crucified routinely by the Romans. This was not something that, oh, they're going to crucify. This is something new. No, that was a routine thing. But look and remember some of the things, and maybe I'll forget some of them. You help me. The things that happened. The earth shook. Christ had died. The earth shook. The sky was darkened. Men's heart was quaking with fear. What's going on here? The veil of the temple was rent. Christ died. The magnitude of what took place at that instant, I can't perceive it all, folks. But something happened that shook heaven and shook earth. Something happened that the whole world was in turmoil. That's not the word I want. There was a great upheaval took place. Heaven was shook. Christ just died. I can see the angels going through heaven. Christ died. Christ died. Christ died. That's my thinking. But I know this, the earth shook. The earth shook. The graves were opened. Christ died. Christ died. The veil of the temple, as I said, was rent. Darkness covered the earth, or the area anyway. And men were trembling. And one looked up, and in his fear or in his awe, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Folks, I don't know. That's just the best way I can put it. The magnitude of what happened when Christ died. So the price has been paid. And now why won't He freely give us all things? What are our needs? What are our burdens? Thank God I can come to Him and say, Lord, I need this.
Yes.
What are You holding back today? Sin, there's forgiveness. One writer said He's already saved the chief of sinners, so He'll save you now. He's already saved Paul. And Paul just used himself as the chief of sinners. But it doesn't matter. Is there sin in your life? Is there a fear in your life? A dread? Is there a dread today? Is there unbelief? Is there financial problems? Is there direction you need? Wisdom you need? Is there some kind of power over temptation you need? I would encourage you to be very specific. How's your home today? How's the wife and the husband doing? Are you just a walking shell? A divorce that just hadn't gone to court? There's a help for that. Something for that. How's your relationship with your parents? How's your relationship with your siblings? How's our relationship in the church? What are our needs today? Are you lonely? I have to go to God about that. I have to tell Him I'm lonely, Lord. Are you lonely today? Go and be specific. He's got something in His plan just for you. I don't think you have to manufacture a thing, but if you had to, you would. I think it's already all been provided. He spared not His own Son, folks. He's already done that. Now He'll freely give you whatever you need. He'll freely furnish you with the graces to live for Him. Now, I don't want to oversimplify this and say we can whimsically come to the Lord. No, we come very serious. We come very subjective to Him, subject to Him. We come very humble to Him. But we also come knowing He will give me what I need. And then we learn not to argue. If I ask God for something and He says no, He won't just say no, but He says no with grace. He says no with power. He says no with authority. He says it in a way that I'm not just left with a big old no, but I'm left with wisdom, I'm left with power, I'm left with grace to hold on to what, or overcome rather, that which God has allowed to come in my life. He doesn't just say no and walk away, but He says no and furnishes us the strength to go through it. The patience. Oh, listen. Parents, do you need patience? I did, and I do. Just go to the Lord. It's there. Patience is there. Whatever we need. How shall He this morning not freely? He's already given. The earth is shook. Amen. The veil has been rent. The sky turned black. The graves of the saints were opened, and they were seen. The magnitude of that thing, it's been done now. And now He'll freely give us whatever we need. Thank the Lord. And I would ask us today to believe. He said all things are possible. You pray for me.